the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Back when I was a kid, one of my favorite things to do in the summertime, this is like a confession, was watch People's Court. You guys remember People's Court? I see how old some people are in this here. Some people, the young kids don't understand what People's Court was. People's Court was like reality TV before there was reality TV, okay? People's Court was like a real court, okay? And Judge Wapner used to sit at the top. You remember Judge Wapner? Okay, and the people used to come and bring the cases before him. They were like real cases, like this guy's dog did something bad in my yard and he ruined my grass or something like that. Or this guy hit my car, something like that. And they were real, like, cases, but they weren't anything, like, serious. Just, like, small claims kind of court. And the best part about People's Court was when you sit there and watch it, and it'd be a group of us, and we would sit and listen to the plaintiff and listen to the defendant, and then we'd try to guess what Judge Wapner's going to say. So we would weigh the evidence. I would sit there and listen to both sides, kind of take their thing, and then we would start to say, no, this guy, and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of fun to make that, you know, to kind of weigh the evidence. Now, of course, our decision really had no bearing on what happened. Like, what I thought doesn't really matter. All that really mattered was what the judge thought. But nevertheless, it was kind of fun anyway. And the reason that I bring that up today is because now that we're in Holy 50, one of the things that you should notice is that every gospel reading throughout the entire Holy 50 comes from the Gospel of St. John. Whether it's weekday or weekend or whatever, it's always from the Gospel of St. John. And there's a theme that runs throughout the Gospel of St. John, and that theme is one of a trial. Okay, it's not the only theme, but it's one of the themes that you kind of see through the Gospel of St. John. And the trial is where evidence is presented, okay? And at the beginning, it's the trial of, really, it's the trial of who is this Jesus person, okay? And that's why throughout the Gospel of St. John, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, presenting Exhibit A. Exhibit B would be that I am the bread of life. And then he would say that I am the good shepherd. And it's all the I ams. And it's all the miracles. And then it was up to people to choose to believe. Last week's gospel was Samaritan woman. She chose to believe. Or to reject. Okay? Or to say, you know what? I don't buy his case. Not enough evidence for me. I think this guy is not who he's claiming to be. As we saw in today's gospel. As we see in many of the other gospels throughout the year. Today's gospel brought us, it was from John chapter 12. And again, our Lord Jesus Christ presented some evidence at the beginning. And he started talking about this walk in light before the darkness comes and all that kind of stuff. And he had just finished pretty much saying, I'm the light of the world, is what he was telling them. And some people chose not to accept. At the beginning, verse 37, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. First group of people said, you know what? We don't buy what this guy's selling. Yeah, he had done miracles and yeah, this and that, but he's probably a con artist or it's a hoax. I don't buy what he said. Another group of people later on, verse 42, believed what he said, but they still didn't want to kind of vote with him, look what it says. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. These people listened to the evidence, said, you know what? Most likely, he's right. But if I vote, if I'm on the jury and I vote that he's right, then this guy's going to get upset at me for voting this way and all this kind of stuff. So you know what? It's not worth the hassle. Guilty. Let's just kind of move on. Now, when the gospel is presented to us, we also have to make like a similar decision. The evidence is placed before us and you got to make up your mind. Now, here's the important thing. Like I said about Judge Wapner, your opinion doesn't change the truth, okay? What you think and the decision that these guys made doesn't change the fact, okay, that he really is the Son of God and all those signs were true. So your decision doesn't affect anyone except one person. See, your decision doesn't affect his trial. Because his trial, I know what the answer to his trial is. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. I know that. He's risen from the dead. It affects your trial because you have a trial as well. And I'm not talking about the judgment day at the last times. I could talk about that, but come on, that's far away. Who knows when that's going to be? I'm talking about right here, right now. I'm talking about right here, right now, our Lord Jesus Christ and the church through these gospel readings has brought the trial into our lap, saying you got to make a decision. You make a decision. Whatever decision you made, be careful. Your trial is going to be very soon after that, and that's going to go on the record. And that's going to determine the outcome of your trial. If you were paying attention to the readings today, actually starting even from last night's gospel reading and this morning's matins, sometimes in the sermon I say, if you were paying attention to morning matins, and the second liturgy people say we weren't here. Now everyone had a chance to be here for matins, so everyone should have heard the gospel readings. You will see that all of the readings kind of presented this kind of decision. And here's the evidence before you, and you got to kind of make a decision. First was last night's gospel was from John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a very famous chapter in the Bible. What happens in John chapter 6? Lots of stuff, and it's all food related. Okay, John chapter 6 is where it starts off by he feeds the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everyone sees it and say, wow, this man is great. This is awesome. This guy is the Savior coming to the world. And then after that, he starts to talk to them about a better kind of food than that kind of bread. He talks to them about the bread of life, which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate in the wilderness. Starts talking about all that kind of stuff. And then at the end of John chapter 6, from the gospel for last night, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. He presented the evidence for them, and he showed them even in visual aids. Here's 5,000 people. They don't have nothing to eat. Here's 5 pieces and 2 bread, and I feed them all. He gives them the evidence, and it's all placed before them, and they got to make a decision. And some of them said, you know what? As much as I want to believe, this is a hard thing. This is too hard for me to accept. So they didn't. And he knew that that was going to be a problem for some of them. The gospel goes on. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Again, he's bringing the trial in your lap. He's saying, you make a decision. You can decide right now to walk away or not walk away. But you got to decide. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good decision, Simon. Good decision, Simon Peter. You made the right decision, and that's why your life will be blessed. Because you made the right decision. This morning's matins. One of the best verses in the entire Bible. John chapter 8, verse 51. Listen to what the Lord is saying right here. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. There's no you're bad. There's no you need to repent. There's no like yelling at us. It's a very, very simple statement. It says, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He's coming to try to help them and try to show them a way to life and eternal life. What happened? Well, end of the gospel. They took up thrones to stow at him. Stones to throw at him. He said, I'm not coming to hurt you. I'm coming to give you life, and I'm telling you that if you listen to my word and you keep my word, you'll never see death. And they start talking about before Abraham was, I am. And he's presenting them this case about who he is and who he should be in their life. They didn't like it. They said, no, we're not buying what you're selling. And they took up stones to throw at him. Another example is from the Acts of the Apostles. If you were paying attention to the Acts reading today, it was a story when St. Paul walked into the city. It was a guy who was crippled or lame or something like that. And he comes to him, he sees that he has faith, and he heals him. Okay? And after he heals him, the men of the city say, oh my goodness, this guy's like a miracle worker. This guy's something great. And they start to worship him. And they start to tell him that you're a god, and they call him Zeus, and they start to worship him. And St. Paul says, you know, like, we're not to be worshipped. Look what it says. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. They started to say, these guys are the greatest thing that ever happened. But you know what happened after that? Shortly after? Scroll down a couple of verses. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. What happened? In a matter of 8 verses, everything flip-flopped. Verse 11, they did a miracle. These guys are God. You're the best, this and that. Then some other guys come and say, are you sure they're God? Let me show you this piece of evidence. Oh, wait, you know what? You're right. Let's stone them and let's kill them. The trial was brought before them and they had to make a decision. Well, you know what? You have to make that same decision. The trial is brought before each and every single one of us. And like I said, it's not his trial. I know how his trial ends. He's God. What I want to know is how my trial ends and how your trial ends. Unfortunately, many of us go back here to this, what happened in the gospel. These guys in the end here. Okay, where it says that they believed, but because they feared the rulers of the synagogue, they made the wrong decision. It's my fear that many of us kind of sometimes do the same. I wouldn't put any of us in the first category. If you were in that category, you probably wouldn't be here today. But it's that second category that's kind of sneaky and that's kind of dangerous. That we believe in him, but because the Pharisees, they did not confess to him. They found that it was a difficult decision and it was too hard to make the right decision. So they said, you know what? It's easier. Let's just keep the peace. Let's just kind of do things kind of easy. And they kind of made the wrong decision. You know an ostrich, okay? You know what they say an ostrich does? An ostrich, when it sees danger coming, what does an ostrich do? Yeah, it puts its head in the sand. You guys have seen the cartoons, right? The ostrich is the one that puts its head in the sand. Because the logic of an ostrich, kind of backwards, but it works for the ostrich, is that if there's a lion coming after me, and I'm scared of the lion, and I can't run away from the lion, I put my head in the sand, therefore I don't see any lion anymore. And the lion has gone away. I'm serious, that's what the ostrich does. The ostrich thinks that if I can't see the lion, then probably the lion can't see me. You're laughing. Hey, we do the same thing all the time. We do the same thing all the time. I know people who know they're sick, but they don't go to the doctor, because if I go to the doctor, he's going to tell me I'm sick and make me take medicine. They figure by just avoiding the doctor, they're avoiding a sickness. Or I know people who avoid the dentist for the same reason. If I go to the dentist, he's going to tell me I have a cavity, and he's going to tell me I have to do all this kind of stuff. So the easiest thing is just don't go to the dentist. I know people who avoid the bathroom scale. Because if I go on there, it's going to tell me that I'm overweight, and then I have to change my diet and all this kind of stuff. Easiest thing is, just don't look at the scale. Then the problem just kind of magically goes away, right? Well, it doesn't really go away for the ostrich, and it doesn't really go away for me and you, and it didn't go away for these Jews here. They said, you know what? We could believe in him, and we could change our life, and we could stop this, and we could start that, but that's going to just affect so many things. Best thing, let's just put our head in the sand, and whatever happens, happens. Let's just stick our head in the sand and hope the best thing kind of turns out. Trying to get rid of our Lord Jesus Christ is what the Jews are trying to do. Trying to remove him. And trying to remove his words. And trying to remove his commandments. And trying to remove his, you need to change. Just try to push it over there, okay? And let me just kind of live my life and enjoy my money and enjoy my time and enjoy my this. And, you know, we'll see what happens later on. A, pushing it away and ignoring the problem doesn't really make it go away. In fact, it only makes the problem worse. Once a warning is given about a potential problem and you choose to do nothing about it, then you are heaping condemnation on yourself. Not my words, words of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the gospel, what he just said to us. If anyone hears my words, pay attention to this. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, look here, I'm coming and I'm telling you the path to life. I'm telling you what needs to change in your life. I'm telling you the areas that you're going astray. I'm telling you the way you need to live. Those who accept it, that's great. Those who don't accept it, I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. Jesus didn't come to say, he didn't come to judge anyone. He came to save the world. And it was his choice. He'd save everyone. He wants to save everyone. He's coming and just laying down. Look here. You got a cavity. You got a cavity. And you don't believe me. That's fine. But I'm not judging you. I'm not rotting your teeth. I'm not making your teeth fall out. Don't blame me. I didn't come to knock your teeth out. I came to save your teeth. I came to tell you have a cavity and I want to help you clean it. But you chose to say, no. Cavity's hard and he's going to hurt and pain and root canal and the funny smell and all that kind of stuff. Don't blame me. You see, when a warning has been given, the judgment that comes after it is that much greater. If you didn't know, that's one thing. But if you know, no, you can't complain to anyone. So consider yourself warned. The doctor has come, says you have a cavity. The doctor has come and says you have a disease, and here's the medicine, and I'm going to put it right here, and you do what you want with it. But hey, if you get sick and you go down, don't blame me. I put the medicine right there. I put it right there, and I printed it out for you in nice colors, and I put it up on the projector screen and all that kind of stuff, and I made it a schedule that you can take the dosages every single day, and I put it there for you. And if you don't want it, don't blame me. Unfortunately, sometimes it's easier just to hide the problem. Like, you know when you have a dirty carpet? There's two ways to make the dirt go away from the carpet. Clean it, or just turn the lights off. If you turn the lights off, the carpet kind of becomes clean magically. Okay, because you don't see any dirt anymore. Unfortunately, some of us choose that. Jesus said that I have come as a light into the world. And some of us say, no, that light, it reveals too much dirt here. Let's shut the lights. Now look at my carpet. It's beautiful, isn't it? Consider yourself warned. A warning given and ignored is worse than without having the warning. Imagine, for example, okay, that disaster that happened a couple weeks ago, that shooter guy at Virginia Tech. That was really, really, really bad. Okay, and people were giving the police a hard time and getting on their case and all this kind of stuff. Imagine now how you'd feel about the police if they had been given a note with exactly how it was going to be done and what time and the exact details, and it was handed to them a month in advance. This is exactly when I'm going to come, and this is who I'm going to shoot, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is exactly how it's going to take place. How would you feel about those police officers? Oh, someone have to pay the price, okay? Because if you didn't know, okay, that's one thing. I can forgive that one. I can let that one go. Surprise us in that. But if you knew, and I told you, and I wrote it down for you, and I gave it to you in your homes, and I emailed it to you, and I put it up on the projector screen every Sunday for you, and you still know. Don't blame anyone but yourself. So today, our Lord Jesus Christ gives a warning. Look here. The warning is not to the bad people, okay? The warning is to the good people as much as the bad. It's to everyone. And the warning is very, very simple, that there's a light that's coming to the world, okay? And that light wants to shine on different aspects of the carpet and show what's dirty. And you have a choice. When the light comes and shines, that you either clean the carpet or you turn off the light. But there's no other option. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, that verse that I showed you, John 8:51, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Okay? If anyone keeps my word, go back and get it here. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. What does it mean to keep his word? Okay? Anyone know the verse in Arabic? What's the word keep in Arabic? Yahfaz. Okay? Which means more than like keep, it means like take care of it, okay? Or make sure that it's okay. Like hold on really, really tight, like tehfaz means like to protect and like hold on to and like not just keep like, okay, I keep it in my attic. That's not what it means. It means like keep and like hold on to it. That's exactly the prescription that has been given to us for life. He says, look here, don't just take these words, read them and kind of go on. Every single day, wake up in the morning and take my word and keep it. Keep it hidden in here. King David said in the Psalms that I have hidden his word in my heart, that I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How many of us can say that we're really keeping God's word that way? We're hiding it in our heart, and we're holding on to it. And every word is so precious to us. And it's more precious than what we read on the newspaper, or on the news, or on the internet, or anything like that. Some of us, the priority of the things is the newspaper, and the TV, and the this, and then the word of God. That's not keeping the word of God. He's telling us, if you keep my word, most assuredly, not just assuredly, but most assuredly, you'll never see death. He's not coming to condemn. He's coming to try to give you something good. So, like I said, trial. You make a decision. Evidence before you. You decide. The light's come into the world. You're going to accept the light, or you're going to turn off the light? You're going to give the light a chance to shine in your life, or you're just going to turn it off? If you choose to accept the light, okay, do you know what your life is going to look like? Well, I'm going to go to another one of the readings today, which was the Pauline epistle, which was 2 Thessalonians. And look what St. Paul says in chapter 2, starting in verse 13. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Okay, stop right there. God from the beginning doesn't want you to lose this game of life. He doesn't want anyone to be condemned. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. From the beginning, chose you, insert your name, for salvation through two things. Through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Do you have any control over sanctification by the Spirit? No, that's God's job. Do you have any control over belief in the truth? Yes, that's your job. There's two parts to it. And he does his part, which is sanctification by the Spirit, and his Spirit's working to sanctify us. But look here, man, you got to do your part. And you got to take the light that comes into the world, and everything that the light exposes, you must believe that it is truth. And when he says that if you keep my word, you shall never see death, you have to believe that. And you have to act on that. And then, the end of the verse, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what he's trying to give us, he's trying to give us glory. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by our word or our epistle. Because I'm trying to give you this glory, this sanctification, this salvation, therefore, hold fast which we have taught you by word or by epistle. Therefore, fight the good fight, and therefore, watch and pray, and therefore, do all these things. Not just for whatever, because the light has shown us that that's the path to light. You know, there's something that we pray every liturgy, every time we read a gospel. One of the things that we say is, may we be worthy to hear and to act according to your holy gospel. You ever thought about what that means? What does that mean? When I say, may I be worthy to hear and to act according to your holy gospel. Imagine I go home with my wife today, and I get on my hands and knees, and I bring the shortia and the incense, and I'm begging her, and I'm pleading, please, please allow me, make me worthy to hear what you have to say to me, and to do it. Make me worthy, please. And if she says yes, I say, yes, I get to obey you. Yes, I get to do what you're telling me to do. Imagine that. That's what we're saying. Why? Very simple. Because what he tells us is getting us to the glory. And what he gets us is getting us to sanctification of the Spirit. Because what he gets us is trying to work out for our glory. So yeah, it is an honor just to hear it, number one, and then to act upon it. We're the ones who are lucky to do his command, not the vice versa. I look at someone like St. Anthony. This guy heard one verse from the Bible, light shined on one area, and he changed his whole life because of it. I get scared that I hear 1,000 verses, 10,000 verses, and I'm just kind of moving my carpet away from the verse. Okay, so there the light shined right there, and I just move my carpet over here. So say, you know what? That doesn't fit my carpet. And then the light shines here, and I back up this way. The verse, the John 8:51 verse that said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. If you really believe that verse, think about that. If you really believe that every word that God gave you, if you really believe that every word would lead to your life, forget about everlasting life. How about just life here on this earth? If there was a politician who was running for president and said, if you do what I say, you'll never ever die, would he win? Oh my goodness, it'd be a landslide. If there is really someone, if we really believe that there's someone who has the ability that we would never, ever, ever die, we do whatever he said. So before you just sit there and say, yeah, I believe, and yeah, I do, if you really believe that every word that comes out of his mouth leads to everlasting life, life probably wouldn't look the same. So consider yourself warned. The trial has been brought before you, and every week of these Holy 50, it's brought before you. When he's saying, I am the this, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you got to make your decision. And at the very beginning of the gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us a wise kind of like guidance. He says, make sure when you make your decision, walk while you have the light, okay, lest darkness overtake you. You want to know what one of the greatest tricks the devil ever played on us is? Is the trick that says, tomorrow. The fact that most of us are counting on tomorrow is one of the greatest tricks the devil ever played. You know, every time we have a disaster or a catastrophe or a 9/11 or a tsunami or a Hurricane Katrina or a Virginia Tech shooter, we all say the same thing, how short life is and you never know and all that kind of stuff. And then what happens? It goes away after about a week. We just kind of push it to the back and we start to count on tomorrow. Look here. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. John chapter 12, verse 36 is when our Lord Jesus Christ says it. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. His goal is every morning that the light shines upon us, that every single day that we open up ourselves to his light and let him shine something. Why? Because he wants to make us sons of light. Tomorrow? No. Don't wait for tomorrow. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Unfortunately, for the people in the gospel, they said tomorrow. They said after this and this happens, then I'll listen to the light. And they lost out on a chance to become sons of light. That's why I'm saying the trial is not the end of the world. It's not the judgment day. The trial is today. The trial is today. That you walk out of here with the word of God, and every single day you walk out of your house with the word of God shining the light, that you may become a son of light, or you choose to walk in darkness that day. You make a decision. I said it before and I'll say it again. God wants to bless your life 1,000 times more than you want to be blessed. Okay? God wants you to be a son of light or a daughter of light a whole heck of a lot more than you want it. You don't believe me? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. That the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I'm telling you, the eyes of the Lord are here today running to and fro, seeing who's going to accept my light. I want to bless them. I want to make my arm strong, as the gospel said in from the prophecy from Isaiah. I want to reveal my power to them. I want them to be a son of light. But unfortunately, too many people say they choose not. The decision's been brought before us today, and you make the right decision, you cooperate with him, you open your life to a whole world of blessing and a whole world of light that you never knew before. Glory be to God forever. Amen.